So, Om Ganachimadanda Sha Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshuram Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, this is a very auspicious day, which is the appearance day of Lord Balaram. And as we mentioned before, chanting, that Balaram is the original Guru. Nayamatma Bala Inena Labwa. Without the mercy of Balaram, well, no one can make any spiritual advancement. And Balaram is, of course, known by different names, Sesh, Anantashesh. And he always accompanies the Supreme Lord. Whenever the Supreme Lord appears, of course, as we know, Srila Prabhupada stated, when Krishna comes, he never comes alone. Because he's an important person. An important person goes with his entourage. And specifically, the entourage that Krishna goes with are his expansions, especially Chaturvyuha expansions. So you have Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyuna, and Aniruddha. And then all of his devotees. So Balaram, of course, is the older brother of Krishna. Now, sometimes... when Balaram appears, he appears as a younger brother. Can anyone think of an incarnation when Balaram came as a younger brother? What? Lakshman. Okay. And there's an interesting story about that. It's told in the Ramayana that Lakshman, being the younger brother, obeyed his older brother. That's part of the Vedic culture or Indian culture. In the West, we don't understand this. That you obey the elder members of the family. You understand? In the West, we don't think like that. In the West, everything is the same. There's no hierarchy, no etiquette, right? Those of you from the West, of course, some of you from India, you can understand it by being here in the West. But in the Vedic culture, there's respect for one's superiors. Krishna, in fact, talks about this. In the Gita, he talks about austerity of the body. And he said austerity of the body is offering respects and service to worshipful superiors like father and mother and guru and elder brother. Oh, Purva. It's nice to see you. Purva G. So, this is a very important item. Therefore, when Lord Ram appeared, his younger brother Lakshman served him and did whatever Ram asked him to do. And this required a lot of austerity on the part of Lakshman. For example, he was asked to do things that he definitely didn't want to do, like put Sita Devi in the fire to test her. Actually, it wasn't real Sita. It was the Maya Sita, who was exchanged by the fire god for the real Sita. But in any case, he was asked to do this by Ram, and being the younger brother, he had to obey. And then also, he had to drop Sita off in the forest. After Ram discovered that people were talking behind his back, were criticizing him. This is an interesting story. People don't understand why Ram had to send Sita Devi away. But the reason he sent Sita Devi away was because the welfare of the citizens in the kingdom, was considered more important than the king's welfare, which is the exact reverse of modern-day politicians. In modern-day politicians, the politician's welfare is most important, like we've experienced in the United States, and the welfare of the citizens, let them go to hell. It's like in the French Revolution, was that Marie Antoinette, was told that the citizens have nothing to eat. Do any of you remember this? What did she say? Let them eat cake. Because you said, oh, they don't have any bread. Okay, let them eat cake instead of bread. So modern day leaders, I'm not saying they're all like that, but probably 99.9999% are like that. Whatever they do is for their own welfare, to get reelected or whatever. And the citizens, let them eat cake, let them go to hell. Does not matter. So Ram sent Sita Devi away because he understood that to perform his duties as king, as emperor, in fact, he would have to be above criticism. In order to have the allegiance of the citizens, in order to be effective, in order to inspire the citizens in following regulative practices. So therefore, in great pain, he sent Sita Devi away. So Lakshman was told, you have to take Sita Devi and drop her off at the ashram of Valmiki Muni. And Lakshman didn't like to follow that order either. But he did it. Therefore, when he was asked by Lord Ram to state a request, to ask for a benediction, you know what he asked for? He asked that from now on, he would not appear as the younger brother, but always be the older brother. So therefore, we find when Balaram appeared, he was the older brother. Just by a few days, like 8 days. Interesting. Let me tell the story about Balaram's appearance. Because we know that this is told by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that Balaram, Shesh, was originally in the womb of Devaki. And then we hear how Yogamaya transferred him into the womb of Rohini, right? So the Acharyas describe that it was an expansion of Balaram, who is also called Shesh, who was in the womb of Devaki, but Balaram, the original Balaram, you know, because Balaram expands just like Krishna expands, Hare Krishna. So the original personality Balaram was actually the son of Rohini, and so the expansion entered when the transfer was done by Yogamaya, the expansion entered into the original form of Balaram. So Rohini is the original mother of Balaram. It's interesting. It's not that she was also pregnant. She was also had Balaram in her womb, but it was the Shesh expansion of Balaram that was in the womb of Devaki that was transferred. Therefore, they thought she had a miscarriage. Does everyone understand that? Okay. So that's Balaram's appearance in this world. And he's a few days older than Krishna. But Krishna didn't really listen to him. The interesting thing about Krishna is he's not a good example for us to follow. If you're looking for a good example, look at Lord Ram. But as far as following Krishna's example, please don't. Unless you can lift a hill with your pinky of your left hand, or a mountain, or a hill. Please don't imitate Krishna. Don't go dancing with so many girls in the middle of the night. Don't start stealing butter from people's refrigerators and feeding it to the monkeys. That's not your business. But you can imitate Lord Ram, not in the sense of being in charge of a whole kingdom, but his adherence to Dharma. So Krishna's pastimes show that he was the supreme personality of Godhead and actually transcendental to all the rules and regulations. That wasn't his appearance was not to show an example how to follow Dharma. Except when he went to Dwarka, when he left Vrindavan. But in Vrindavan, he showed an example of what the Supreme Personality of Godhead is, who the original form of the Lord, Ete Changsa, Kalak Pumsa, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam, and how he is completely transcendental to all rules and regulations, can do things that none of us can do, that nobody can do except for himself. So, therefore, Krishna, in his pastimes, many times opposed Balaram. Can think of a few examples. One example, of course, is in the marriage of Subhadra. We all know that Balaram, or some of you may know, that Balaram was very much friendly with Duryodhana. Duryodhana actually had a plan, how to divide and conquer. That's one of the rules. When you're following Niti Shastra, when you're dealing with an enemy, if you have an enemy, the first thing you do is sweet words, right? Nice words. Oh, you're a good enemy. You're a very nice enemy. Try to butter him up. Just like if you go shopping, someone is trying to sell you something, they'll praise you, right? They won't say you're a rascal because they'll never be able to sell anything to you. So it's sweet words. And then after that, you have, bribery. Any of you go to India, you know that you have to use this all the time. One time there wasn't a place on the train for me. They says no reservation. I said, oh, here's 100 rupees. There's a reservation. So we found a reservation. So bribery is another means of dealing with your enemies or people you want to conquer. Another means is give someone a position. Another means is divide and conquer, Veda. You understand? Like you go to one enemy. Let's say you have two enemies. So you go to one enemy and you tell the enemy, and both enemies are together. You tell the enemy, this other enemy said this about you. And you go to the other one and said, this one said he doesn't like you. In this way, the enemies start fighting, right? And then you win. So Duryodhana had this plan that he would sort of make friends with Balaram. And so he entertained Balaram. Balaram became his martial arts teacher. And he actually asked Balaram, being instigated by Shakuni, good old Uncle Shakuni. I think you all know who Shakuni is. Being instigated by Shakuni, he asked Balaram if he could marry Subhadra. And of course, that would have been a horrible match, a match made in hell. Because Subhadra is Subhadra, like Krishna's yogamaya potency, the internal potency. And so Balaram was convinced. And he said, all right, we'll make this arrangement. And so then he went home to see Vasudeva and Devaki and also Rohini. And he said, I made this arrangement. But Krishna didn't like that arrangement. Krishna wanted to oppose him. But Krishna couldn't oppose him directly. Krishna had to be very tricky. That's one thing about Krishna. He's an extremely tricky personality. So what did Krishna do? He went to his friend Arjuna. And he wanted Arjuna to marry Subhadra because Krishna had the whole plan for the dynasty to be carried out in a certain way. For Arjuna and Subhadra to get married, and then Abhimanyu, basically that Parikshit. So the whole Kuru dynasty would be able to continue. So he said to Arjuna, you should dress up as a sannyasi. Of course, that was a Kali Yuga sannyasi he was dressing up as. Kali Yuga sannyasi means someone wears saffron, but is not following the rules of Dharma. Like Prabhupada gave the example, when Prabhupada was married, he had one neighbor, someone who lived next to him, who would dress up as a sannyasi during the day and dress up as a householder at night. Why? Because that way he could collect donations. So when he was kissing his wife goodbye in the morning, he put on his saffron dhoti. And the upper cloth is meant for collecting donations. That's why it's good for sannyasi to have a big upper cloth, not just small. big, big. It should be 20 meters cloth. So he would go out every day, and he would collect donations and bring them back to his wife, and then put on his white dhoti after that. So that's Kali Yuga sannyasi. And that's one reason why sannyasa is forbidden in Kali Yuga, because in Kali Yuga, everybody is what? Manda Sumanda, Matyo, Manda Bhagyu Patrita. Everyone's unfortunate, short-lived, and basically cheaters. So much difficulty in Kali Yuga. And so, generally, when people take a position in Kali Yuga, they're cheaters. Generally, whether it's king, or president, or prime minister, or whatever, or spiritual position, like we see so many people come from India. I remember Prabhupada made the comment that in the 1960s, there were many people coming from India declaring themselves to be God. And Prabhupada would say, practically speaking, there is a God coming every day from India. Isn't it? So many gods. So therefore, in Kali Yuga, because people have this cheating propensity, generally it's not allowed. In fact, that's one of the things that are not allowed in Kali Yuga, the order of sannyas, or taking the order of sannyas. However, for preaching, it can be done, and only for preaching Krishna consciousness. So, getting back to the story, Arjuna was encouraged to take the sannyas dress. And then he was visiting the house, Balaram's house, and Subhadra was there. And as he was sitting down, there's a nice story in the Krishna book about this. Jai Shri Radhamadan Mohan. As he was sitting down, taking prasadam, Balaram was there, Krishna was there, Subhadra was there. He was, as they say, making eyes at Subhadra. I think you know what that means? Making eyes. I don't know what that means. Anyway, I'm a sannyasi, so I don't know what it means. But it means something. So he was looking at her romantically. And then he ended up kidnapping her. And Balaram was so angry that he called for the soldiers of the Yadu dynasty to attack and capture Arjuna and maybe even kill him. Because he thought, he has insulted us. He was our guest. And so Balaram was gathering the soldiers together, going in front of King Ugrasena. And then who comes out but Krishna? And Krishna says, guess what? It's not an insult. Arjuna is from a very high-class family. And then Balaram understands it was Krishna's plan. And Balaram says, oh. He gets frustrated because Krishna has sort of like disobeyed his order or instructions or desire again. It's interesting, isn't it? There's actually many, many instances where this happens. When Duryodhana was fighting with Bhimsen, at the end of the battle of Kurukshetra, Duryodhana was invulnerable except along his midriff, the middle section, because his mother, Gandhari, had actually looked at the rest of the body. That's a different story, which I think most of you know. And so Krishna was hinting to Bhimsen how to kill Duryodhana. How he hinted was that he kept slapping his thigh to show Bhimsen that he should kill Duryodhana by hitting him with a club in the thigh, which was illegal. It is illegal to kill, when doing club fighting, the opponent or to hit the opponent with the club. Yet, Krishna was encouraging that, and Bhimsen did that. And Bhimsen broke the thighs of Duryodhana, or the thigh of Duryodhana. And Balaram was so angry at that point, he was ready to kill Bhimsen. Yet, Krishna interfered. And Krishna said that, you know, where were you when this battle was taking place? Why did you let Duryodhana get away with all the things? And Balaram, again, had to walk away a little bit frustrated at that particular point. So we see in these particular stories that Krishna is transcending etiquette, the normal etiquette that the elder has to give instruction to the younger has to listen to him. He is transcending etiquette to show that, and there's a fancy word for you, that ontologically, that's a big word, that means Krishna is in a higher position than Balaram, because Krishna is the source of all the expansions, all the other appearances of Godhead, as we mentioned in this verse from the Bhagavatam, Ete Changsa Kalakpumsa. Krishna is to Bhagavan Swayam. All the incarnations are either portions or plenary portions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, including Balaram. So this is what Krishna was showing through these various pastimes, that by position, by nature, he is in a superior position, Balaram, although he's the same as Balaram, which is interesting. The Brahma Sangita tells us, Advaita Chuta Nadi Rananta Rupa Madhyam Purana Purusham Navayovanam Cha. It says there is one God. Sometimes people come to our Hare Krishna movement and they're very confused. They say, oh, it's Balaram's appearance day and you're worshiping him as God. And then it's Lord Nrsingadeva's appearance day, you're worshiping him as God. Lord Vamana's appearance day, worshiping him as God. Lord Rama's appearance day, worshiping him as God. Lord Matsya's appearance day, well, we usually don't have a big celebration for that. But still, he's God. And Bhagavatam describes there is many expansion or incarnations of the Lord as waves in the ocean, which means unlimited. And so, who's God? You people must be polytheistic. They think like that, right? And, of course, there is a certain, in the modern interpretation of Hinduism, there is a certain polytheistic misunderstanding, too. So sometimes you get people coming to the temple and say, I want to see the gods. Right? Where are the gods? The gods. But there is the God, that is Krishna. And his various expansions are all, at least the Vishnu Tattva expansions, are all God too. Except it is God, it is Krishna. Forget about the word God. God is sort of like the position. But Krishna is the person. So we have Krishna in different moods. It is the same person in different moods, exhibiting different aspects of his personality. When he exhibits himself completely, that is Krishna. When there is some, let's say, a lesser aspect of his personality, then it is a various incarnation or appearance or, let's say, expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But it's still the same person. There's not many different gods. And also we worship different expansions of Krishna for different purposes. We worship Lord Nrsingadeva, for example, to not just to kill all of our enemies. That's an interesting, please kill everyone that doesn't like me. I've never done that. We worship Lord Nrsingadeva to destroy the demoniac mentality in our hearts. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he was young, he was given the Nrsinga mantra to chant by his father, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. He goes, Lord Nrsingadeva destroys the demoniac mentality that we have, the anarthas that we have. So we pray to him like that. My dear Lord Nrsingadeva, please, within our heart, please rip these anarthas to shreds and give us some purification so we can appreciate Vishaya Chariya Kavi Shuddha Kavi Hamana Kavi Hama He Rabo Shri Vrindavana. So we can actually see the spiritual realm with our spiritual eyes, with our spiritual vision. So we pray like that, and we pray to Balaram for spiritual strength. But it's very interesting. Many people, they pray to God or pray to Balaram, and they expect Balaram to do everything for them. This is devotional service in ignorance. That you say, my dear Balaram, please purify me. I'm just going to sit and eat prasadam for the next 20 years and worship you. Hopefully you'll purify me by the time I die. This is not our process. As they say, man proposes, God disposes. So there has to be some action on our own parts. And I'm going to speak about this in regard to Balaram's particular activities. And killing two demons. There's two demons that Balaram killed, and we'll talk about this. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about this extensively in a book called the Chaitanya Shikshamrita. This Chaitanya Shikshamrita is one of the most wonderful books that teaches us how to apply Krishna consciousness in a practical way. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has many, many wonderful literatures that teach us how to apply Krishna consciousness in the modern world, in our own lives. And he cures us from the disease of fanaticism or the disease of looseness. You know, there's two opposite poles there. You know, some people are fanatic. Fanatic means what is, fanatic means we take the rules and regulations as everything. That's called niyamagraha, and looseness is niyamagraha. Does everyone understand the difference? Niyamagraha means not to follow the rules and regulations. Niyamagraha means to follow them, but, you know, just ritualistic without understanding the goal, like that. So both are causes of deviation from Krishna consciousness. So let's talk about these demons, because you all like demons. So one demon that Balaram killed was Dainakasura. And he was, what did Dainakasura look like? Does anyone know?
Like a donkey.
Like a donkey, or an ass, as they say, the ass demon. And he was in the Talavana forest, just like we have a temple called New Talavant. But there's no asses there. Anyway, so this Dainakasura represents, this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's analysis, the load-carrying mentality, like a mudha. Like we see Krishna describes in the Gita, but namam duskrutino mudha prapajante naradama mayaya pratigyanam asudam abhamashrita. Four types of people don't approach him. Everybody knows that. The mom duskrituna mudha, the ass-like, you know, person is just like working so hard, has no time for Krishna consciousness. Then the lowest of mankind. And then those who are intelligence stolen by illusion. Maya pratigana asurambhava. And those who are completely dedicated to preaching atheism. It's like I was reading one scientist who's published books. He's so dedicated to, let's say, opposing God, he's published many, many books trying to prove how there's no God. I'm not going to mention his name, please. We don't want to pollute the atmosphere. So, anyway, so this Dainakasura, he was an ass. And he represents someone who's very lusty. Lusty means not only that they're romantic and they watch a lot of Bollywood films. You know what Bollywood films are? Yeah, I think you do. So most Bollywood films have this idealized romance there. You know, so-and-so meets so-and-so and they ride through the trains, going through Central Delhi, singing their songs with a whole group of surrounding them and dancing. That's a Bollywood song, a Bollywood movie. So, that's also Dainakasura business. Bollywood film. Dainakasura produces Bollywood films. So, enough criticism there. So, so Dainakasura represents someone who's really attracted to romantic things, and he carries a big load because that's what happens. Ataksha Griha Kshetra Sutapta Vitaya Janasya Mohal Yama Hamamati. So Dainakasura also represents subtle sex desire, which is profit, adoration, and distinction. And what happens, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that Dainakasura causes complete and total ignorance of one's eternal identity. And so Balaram, the way he killed Dainakasura is he grabbed him by the hind leg and whipped him around and threw him into the tree, right? But Krishna had Balaram kill that demon instead of Krishna directly killing that particular demon. Krishna killed some of the other ass demons, but Dainakasura was left up to Balaram. So the point being here is that because Balaram is the original guru, we get empowerment from Balaram and learn from Balaram, and learn from our spiritual master, who is the representative of Balaram, how to deal with this gross materialistic consciousness, or jackass-like foolishness. But we have to struggle. In other words, let's say when you approach your guru, and you say, Gurudev, I have so many material desires, please save me. What does the guru do? No, he saves you. How? By giving you instructions. Not by saying, putting his feet on your head and saying, you are free from material. That's not the right consciousness. Like Prabhupada talked about the bogus guru who would touch you and give you spiritual enlightenment. I remember when there was one bogus guru in the 1960s. He would let people see the Brahma Jyoti. How did he do that? By hitting them in the eyeballs. I can do that too. You know, you want to see the Brahma Jyoti? Boom. Then you see the Brahma Jyoti. So, you know, that's... But Prabhupada talked about the guru who would touch his disciple and say, I've given you all my Shakti, and then he falls unconscious. He lost all of his Shakti. That's not the way Krishna consciousness works. I got news for you. It may be bad news for you, but Krishna consciousness works by you get the instructions how to purify yourself, what to do from the guru, and then you have to do it. So that's how we approach Balaram. Balaram gives us the instructions. Not that we sit back and Balaram does everything for us. Oh, just one note about this nice demon. I think I'm going to have to end in a few minutes. Would you have the play pretty soon, Maharaj?
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay, just give me 5 more minutes.
For your pleasure, Maharaj.
For my pleasure, okay. For my pleasure, it would be prasadam. Anyways. there's one point about this demon. He's actually a very interesting person. This, according to the Garga Samhita, in the previous life, this demon, Dainakasura, was the son of Bali Maharaj. And he offended... Actually, the son of Bali Maharaj was enjoined with 10,000 girlfriends simultaneously. And Durvasa Muni got offended by him and said, you're acting like a fool, an ass, like that. Therefore, you should become an ass. You become a fool. And then he begged for forgiveness. And what happened is that Durvasa Muni said that you will be killed by Balaram. Now, another reason he was not killed by Krishna, which is interesting, is that previously, as I mentioned before, he was the son of Bali Maharaj. So what had Lord Nrsingadeva promised Prahlad Maharaj? Does anyone know? I'm not going to kill anyone in your dynasty, any of your descendants. That would be pretty good to be one of Prahlad Maharaj's descendants. You can get away with almost anything. Unless Balaram came. So Balaram, not having been bound to that same promise, he actually was, but he wasn't. A little tricky. Balaram killed this demon, Dainakasura. Okay. And then another demon that Balaram killed was the demon named Kralambasura. Now, Kralambasura was quite an interesting personality because there actually was a coward boy who looked like him, but he was on vacation that day. He stayed home. So Kralambasura assumed the guise of that particular coward boy. And we know that there was the fight, and then eventually he had to carry away Balaram. And Balaram, as he carried away Balaram, he expanded his body, became bigger. And Balaram made this comment, my, how this carrier has changed. Because at first he was a coward boy, and then he expanded himself to this big, you know, like copper-colored, demoniac personality, and Balaram, of course, killed him, smashed him on the head, and killed him. So, this particular demon also represents lust and the desire for profit, adoration, and distinction, and how lust can masquerade, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Shikshamrita, Chaitanya Shikshamrita, how lust can masquerade as something different. Like, here was a wolf in a sheep's clothing. You understand? The example here was a demon in a coward boy's guise. So, you know, lust can look like very sweet. Or as Krishna says in the Gita, like happiness, like lust is sort of like the happiness in the mode of passion. So happiness in the mode of passion is, what is it like in the beginning? Does anyone know? It's like nectar. What does it become at the end? Poison. And happiness in the mode of goodness is what? Poison in the beginning. It's a little difficult because it goes against our passionate nature. you know, waking up early, chanting 16 rounds. It's very, very difficult. We'd rather be eating. We'd rather be sleeping. We'd rather be doing so many things. So it goes against our nature. But after a while, if you do it, you get real happiness, continual happiness. It doesn't end. Kevalananda Kanda. That means it's simply happiness, only happiness, and unlimited happiness. So this demon, Pulambasura, was killed by Balaram. And the same point is there, that in order to conquer this lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, all these wonderful anarthas, that one has to struggle very hard. Okay, so how do we struggle very hard? I mentioned before we follow the order of the spiritual master, but that's sadhana. We avoid the 10 offenses. We pray to Krishna as we're chanting. We're very attentive where we're chanting. And also, we're able to identify when there's some desire that comes in the heart so we don't start contemplating it. Like as Krishna says in the Gita, jayato vishayakpum sabasangos teshu bajayate, that when you contemplate some desire, sense object, then you get attached. Then you get lusty. So we have to be able to control or be so alert that we're able to identify a dangerous situation before it occurs. That's what it means. Before you start contemplating, understand danger. And you don't contemplate. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this is a quote from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, if one endeavors in a very humble mood, Krishna will show his mercy, then upon awakening of the mood of Sri Baladeva in a devotee's heart, contaminations will be removed. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, another quote, he says, the methods of the process of purification are very deep and mysterious. Therefore, it is necessary to learn about them directly from a bona fide spiritual master who is a representative of Sri Baladeva. So, therefore, we're all very fortunate to have the association of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, and the Krishna Consciousness Movement. And this connection with Srila Prabhupada connects us directly to Baladeva and holds its cyclic succession in Krishna and gives us the ability, if we follow the instructions, to become absolutely pure devotees of the Lord. Just like I was recently, just one final thing. I was recently in Govardhan. I was in Govardhan a week ago. And I was thinking, how fortunate the people are who are circumambulating Govardhan Hill, of course. But I was thinking, these people really need to be connected to the cyclic succession, to Srila Prabhupada. It's wonderful they're circumambulating Govardhan and they're all chanting Hare Krishna. It's very wonderful. But if they actually want to achieve the highest platform or come to the highest platform of devotional service, it is absolutely required to be connected with the Sampradaya, which is ultimately connection with Srila Prabhupada, with Balaram. So it is a very important duty of every member of the Krishna Consciousness Movement to connect people with Srila Prabhupada, which connects them through the disciplic succession to Balaram, so they have the possibility to become perfectly pure devotees. Okay, so I think I have to end here. So any questions or comments before we have a play? Yes. Yeah.
Now, today, we only fast till noon. Is there a reason why we only fast till noon?
Balaram is more compassionate.
Okay.
Like we say the saying about Radharani, you know.
That works for me.
Balaram is more compassionate. But, the reason we fast, one thing is the reason we fast at midnight on Janmashtami is that Krishna appeared at midnight.
So did Lord Balaram appear at noon?
I don't know. You'll have to ask him. When he comes tomorrow for Rath Yatra, you can just ask him when he appeared. But that's the reason we go to midnight. Generally, on most Vishnu Tattva appearance days, we fast till dusk, till the evening. Of course, Lord Nrsingadeva also appeared at dusk. So most Vishnu Tattva appearance days, we do that all day fasting. Although in Balaram's appearance day, it's a half-day fast. And today is also the first day of the next month. It's Purnima. So the last month we were supposed to be fasting from greens. And this month is going to be a yogurt fast. So everyone should remember, Chaturmasya, at least we should do those things, you know, fast from those specific items. Next month is the milk fast. Next month is fasting from things that are too high in protein, like or dal. So every month there's something during Chaturmasya. And, of course, the last month of the Chaturmasya, that is the Kartik month. And that is a special month, the Damodar month, in which we chant the Damodar Ashtaka and worship Krishna in the form of Damodar, having himself tied up around the belly. So these 4 months, Chaturmasya, are very important. The sages, generally, they did special austerities during these 4 months. Some sages used to just eat once a day and have their hands tied behind their back. And like a duck, you know, they would eat from the floor, unspiced khichdi once a day, and they would only be able to eat as much as they could while they were down on the floor. If they got up once, that's it for the prasadam for the day. We won't do that here.
I'm very glad that I'm not a sage.
Well, actually, if one's preaching Krishna consciousness, then there's different rules that apply. If one's not preaching, we're supposed to chant 64 rounds a day and do all sorts of things. Okay. Sorry, Maharaj. Okay, all glories to his divine grace, the Prabhupada. Balaram ki jai.